This is our re-recording after the fact. We had some trouble with our sound system on Sunday, so I'm doing this afterwards for completeness because I have OCD. The Holy Gospel according to St. John from the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, joy, and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I know I've used this introduction in the Bible story before, so I'm sorry for the repeat, but it's too good of an introduction to what our text today wants to talk about. It comes from the relatively recent movie Fury. Brad Pitt plays a World War II tank commander. Shia LaBeouf plays a Bible Belt preacher, member of the tank's crew. But the scene I'm thinking of is between John Bernthal's backwoods yokel, member of the tank crew, and the new guy. In one of the early scenes, the crew loses a member in fighting, and they have to get a new guy when they pull in for a pit stop. The colonel, don't hold me to that rank, as he's walking along with Pitt, grabs a guy standing in some other line, a guy who's just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and says, "Meet your new crew member," and sends them both away. Now, that member ends up being some 21-year-old Northeasterner college grad who, as he keeps trying to tell everyone, "I'm just a typist," while carrying a typewriter. Pitt eventually takes the typewriter and throws it to the ground. Not anymore. As the rest of the crew, who has been together for most of the war, get to know him, Bernthal, doing his best Bernthal on fire impersonation, asks the new guy, "Have you been born again?" To the great pleasure of the preacher. And the Episcopalian new guy stammers a bit and eventually replies, "Well, I've been baptized." He might have even used a fancy word like christened. I'm pulling it from memory. And Bernthal's yokel says back, "Now that ain't the same thing now, is it?" To the tank preacher's amen corner. I honestly didn't know there was anyone left in Hollywood capable of writing a scene with theological insight and tension. But at the risk of placing myself under the wonder of Jesus, that am I the teacher of Israel, the scene captures the reality of two things we must say yes towards. As a Lutheran pastor, I first have to defend the typist and say he answered correctly. It's completely the right answer if someone asks you, "Are you born again?" to say, "I'm baptized." because that font is where the promise happens. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The first and second parts of Luther's small catechism on baptism make that promise clear. What is baptism? Baptism is not just plain water only, but it's the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. What benefit does baptism give? It works the forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Which are these words and promises? Christ says in Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved." Being born of water and the Spirit go together. As much as Pentecostal preachers might want to separate them, they are not. That font is the gift of salvation, which is the work of the Spirit. That font is a place, a sacrament, where God has bound himself. The word and the promises of God are in that water. But at the same time, we must affirm that the typist's good catechism answer, we have to agree with the yokel's assertion that it ain't the same thing. What the yokel and the preacher recognize in the college typist's answer is the lack of something. Something that, again, Luther's catechism captures. He asks rather brusquely, like Bernthal, how can water do such great things? And he answers, certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. The fancy theological term dancing around here is ex opere operato. It works by itself. Because if baptism worked that way, it would be no different than magic. And we're not practicing magic or calling the Witch of Endor or any shaman. Baptism is a sacrament, which is a place where God has bound himself to simple things. But what it does require is faith. It requires that we believe what God has said he has done. And that belief is a work of the Spirit which has taken residence in us. In that sacrament, at that font, the Spirit tells us, believe that God has done this. He has saved you. And that faith is what the yokel was trying to get from the typist. Were the head the correct answer there in baptism, I have been born again, and the heart, this I believe and confess, or maybe for the yokel, this I witness to, were the head and the heart in agreement? Did you receive the sacrament? Or are you practicing magic? Now, Jesus and Nicodemus are dancing around the same things as that tank yokel and the new guy. Nicodemus intellectually knows that Jesus is important. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. He's seen the signs, but they have not really stirred his heart. Because Jesus gives him a test of the heart. You must be born again, which is meaningless to Nicodemus. His reply back to Jesus, I think, is more the reply of, stop being foolish, teacher. It's not that he doesn't get the metaphor that Jesus is using. It's that the metaphor doesn't make sense to him. I have already been born a Jew. I'm already a member of the covenant. And Jesus presses right on Nicodemus' understanding. That which is born of flesh is flesh. If that is your belief, Nicodemus, good luck. You are leaning on the flesh. And we all know that the flesh fails. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God's not looking for a specific DNA chain. Yep, a descendant of Abraham. God is looking for faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham believed God and got up and left everything he had ever known for a promise. Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus, you know that God is with me. You've seen the signs. You are surely heard the witness of John the Baptist about the anointing of the Spirit. The Spirit is blowing right now, Nicodemus, in your hearing. No one has ascended into heaven except he who would descend from heaven, the Son of Man, the man who is right before you now. You know this in your head, Nicodemus. Know it in your heart. Have faith. Have faith in what you know, that God is working in the Son of Man. And when the Son of Man is lifted up, when you see that cross, know that God is still working. Just like Moses and that bronze serpent in the wilderness, that cross which the Son of Man must hang on is the salvation of everyone who will see it. The last words of Nicodemus recorded are, "How can these things be?" Now, what I do want to notice is that those words come midway. We don't know from this text about Nicodemus' final response, but it expresses wonderment at the Spirit blowing where it will. Nicodemus thought these things were settled within the covenant of Israel. And what he's hearing from Jesus challenges his conception of God. Is God not faithful? Is he not the God who is abounding in steadfast love? Jesus, what you are saying seems to be that God might not be faithful. No, Nicodemus, God is more faithful than you can imagine. God does not just love Israel. His steadfast love is not just on one small sliver of the vast number of humanity. The steadfast love of God is for his world, the cosmos. Nicodemus, God is not abandoning his covenant. He's enlarging it. He's fulfilling it. That whoever believes should not perish. What is of the flesh perishes. What is of the Spirit is life. And the Son of Man is present to give life to the world. God sent his Son not to condemn everyone and everything, but that everyone and everything might be saved. Nicodemus, which God do you have faith in? The God who would condemn all, or the God who desires all to be saved? Nicodemus, do you see how the Spirit is working, taking all the dead flesh of the earth and offering it eternal life? Do you see the love of God? And through Nicodemus, he asks us the same thing. Are you born again? Do you believe that God is a God of steadfast love? Do you believe that this cross is the work of God's steadfast love for our salvation? Do you believe that this steadfast love is for all mankind? Whoever looks here shall be saved. Do you believe that God has promised this to you in the waters of baptism? Are you born again? Amen.